Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Beautiful day outside. A little warm and windy, but beautiful still on top of all that. Praise the Lord. I'm not on top of a mountain somewhere and like the Alps. I think about the times I've flown over the Alps, you know, when I look down from 35, 40,000 feet high and I look down to see all that ice and snow and all them cliffs. I'm thinking, boy, I'm sure glad I'm riding along in this airplane and not down there on top of those mountains. But you know, it's wonderful. You know, it's absolutely wonderful to be alive today and to see what's going on. But wow, we had a good week in Baltimore. You know, we got to preach a couple of nights up there, Tuesday night and Wednesday night. I don't know if you watched the news at all, or I happened to ask Tony there a while ago, did he see what happened to the street and the train station there in Baltimore where the whole street fell off? He said he saw that on the news. Yeah, so we were there. We were right there in all that water. It was raining everywhere, you know, I mean, raining, all the, I mean, it was amazing. The streets that were underwater. In fact, a couple had come picked us up to take us to church one of those nights. They only live 5 miles from the hotel, and it took them 2 hours to get there. Only 5 miles, and it took 2 hours to get there. So that'll give you some kind of an idea of what kind of weather was up there, but it was raining. And if you don't know, of course, I turned on the TV that morning before we left to see what the weather was going to be like. Of course, it was a beautiful day, Friday, coming home. But I looked and I noticed the droughts in California and Southern California, and the fires and the winds were 80 and 100 miles an hour, and Southern California was on fire. I thought, wow, you go from one extreme to the other extreme. And then I thought, yeah, floods and fires, and I thought, oh, and praise God, the peace talks did fall through. Do y'all notice that? Just in case anybody looked. Yeah, the peace talks did fall through. They did not divide Jerusalem on the 29th like they were going to, because if they had of, you know, I mean, we might not be here, you know. I mean, you know, that prophet that Cheryl and I listened to the other night said that when the United States divides Israel, he's going to drop a meteor, or whatever you call those things, into the Atlantic Ocean just north of Puerto Rico, and the rock is going to be 5 miles in diameter. That's a big rock. And he says it's going to create a tsunami that's going to be 1,000 foot tall, and it's literally going to destroy Puerto Rico because of the sin that's there. And then he's going to kill, I think, what, 3.5 million people in Puerto Rico, what he said would die. And then he said that tsunami would come on to the United States and hit Florida and come inland. And it would, and said the tsunami would still be 400 feet high when it hit Florida. And so that's going to wash away Florida. There's not anything in Florida that's over 20 or 30 feet above sea level, except a building. And so, and then it's going to go all the way up the East Coast, all the way to Maine, and it'll still be 200 feet high when it got to Maine. So he said that when they divide Israel, that tsunami from that rock that'll fall into the ocean down there will come in and literally come inland up to 100 miles. And he says that it would kill 35 million people on the East Coast. Now, then, I mean, you know, it's a good time to know Jesus. Amen. That's all I got to say. And not only to know Jesus, but it's a good time to know Jesus and be obeying what he says. Because that prophet, one of the things he said, I was really grateful that he made this statement. He said, it makes no difference where you are. Of course, you know, I was thinking Cheryl and I were going to be there on the 29th. And I thought, well, if they do that, wow, we might get washed away with the rest of them, you know. But one thing he did say, he said, it makes no difference where you are. If you're my children and you're obeying me, you will not be harmed. Amen. Of course, that confirmed what Psalm 91 has already told me. You know, and so I have to believe that, don't I, Jack? I have to believe what he says. And so there's something else I want to throw in right here. I'm not an economic major by no means, but I have been very successful in life financially. you know, I have served the Lord, I have tithed, and I know that God is the one that's made me blessed. And if something don't happen and the world don't fall apart, we only have about 2 more weeks till I'm going to be closing on this 23 acres of land back behind me here. And so when I do, that money that comes in, I am selling 23 acres of my 100 acres of land here that I own. And out of that 23 acres, we will have far more than the money we need to pave this road and this parking lot from here to the street up there. So it won't be long. It won't be long, not very many more weeks, if everything keeps going like they are, that we will have a paved parking lot, a paved road, and a nice paved road all the way out to Fault Road. And don't that make it nice to be able to ride on a smooth road instead of the rough road? But it costs a lot of money to do that, you know, and a lot of money. And so I didn't have the money up until now, although I have had some people that have given some donations, and some of them are fairly nice, but it wasn't nowhere close to enough to do that. You know, that's going to cost a lot of money to do that. But anyway, we will have the money after a couple more weeks. We only got a couple more weeks, and then we'll have the money, and then I'll see what I can do about getting a contractor to do that for me. So we'll have a nice road up here and a nice parking lot. That's going to be nice. But I have listened to another economic major, a man that does know what he's talking about. And if a man were to tell you 7 or 8 years ago that he guaranteed you that Freddie and Fannie are going to both go bankrupt and General Motors is going to go bankrupt within the next few years, most people would be just like I was. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, Freddie and Fannie, the biggest banks in the world, biggest lending institutions in the world, and they're going to go bankrupt, and General Motors, as successful as it is, they're going to go bankrupt. I didn't pay any attention at all. And did it happen? It did happen. This last week, this same man said that the 1st of July, now that's not a long ways off either, the 1st of July, which is 2 months away, not even 2 months, that this new law that Obama has signed will go into effect. And he said it's going to be, of course, they signed it into law a year and a half ago. It's, what's the number of it? 20, it's HR, I don't remember what the number of it is, but go into the internet and look up and see what's going to happen, what HR bill is going to go into effect the 1st of July, and you can find it, I guarantee. There's all kinds of stuff on the internet about this bill. But when I heard this man this last week, I said, this is the worst thing economically that's ever been done to the United States of America. You know, there's something happening here that's way beyond just the normal thing. Because, like I say, I'm not an economic major, but anytime I am smart enough. I have a brain, you know, and I can use it. I know that if I need to go out and let's say I wanted a new truck, and I went out and I looked and I said, wow, there's exactly what I want. Well, that new truck. But guess what? What does new pickups cost today? A really nice one. What can you spend? $30,000? $40,000, $50,000? Somebody said $60,000? For $70,000 for a pickup or a car? You know, now I have a brain on my head, and since I know, I'll just be kind of upfront with you. Since I know, I personally have $6,000 in the bank on my own private bank account, do you think I'm going to go out and spend $50,000 for a new pickup? Okay, Cheryl, 2847 is the number of this bill. Okay, so if I got $6,000, and I don't very often tell people what I have in the bank because I don't have a lot of money in the bank, but I do have, for your benefit, I'm not a rich man, but I am a rich man. I have $6,000 in the bank, but everything I have is paid for. I don't owe nobody nothing. Nobody. Don't owe a penny to nobody. So if I got $6,000 in the bank, if food goes up 30% next week, what can I do? Can I still eat? Oh, yeah. Sure I can, yeah. And how many of y'all noticed that meat is at the highest level it's been forever? Anybody noticed that lately at the grocery store? You know, I mean, it's terrible. We're short on cattle. Because why are we short on oil? Why is all this stuff happening? But it's happening because the drought is one thing. It's happening because the floods are another thing. And between the droughts and the floods, we don't have the livestock, and we can't feed them, and everything. And so men, in fact, here in Texas, here a couple, two or three years ago, almost every rancher in Texas, for not counting East Texas, but from this part right here on west, had to sell all the livestock they had because there was not enough grass to feed them. Y'all remember that? When we didn't have rain and the lakes are low. Well, their lakes are low again, you know. But anyway, this gentleman says that this, the one that made the statements a few years ago that Freddie and Fannie and General Motors and all of them would go bankrupt, that I didn't listen to. I just thought, this can't happen. He says that this bill, what was the number of it again? 2847, H.R. 2847, is going to go into effect July the 1st. And he says, now like I say, I'm not an economic major, but he says it's the most devastating bill that's ever happened. So let me give you, if this man is right, and he, last time I didn't take a precaution, I thought he can't be right. But now then, since everything he said happened, I have a little more credibility with this guy. I listen to people that make those kind of statements. And I try my best to warn you if what I don't want you to get into something. But let me just say, he says that within a year or less after this bill goes into effect, there could very well be chaos in America. Because he said there's going to be money, you know, that people are going to spend that they don't have. Well, let me tell you what, if I ever seen anything in my life, people that have spend money that they don't have, it's a bunch of stupid Americans. I used to be one of those. I used to go out and say, okay, I got $6,000 in the bank. Wow, my little truck's got 100,000 miles on it. Wow, I could go buy me one. So maybe I'll not buy a new one, but I could take mine and trade it in. And for the $6,000 I got, I could probably put another $5,000 with that and finance that, and for that kind of money, I could get me a halfway decent truck. So now then, all the money I had is gone, my old truck is gone, I was paid for, and I got a $5,000 note, and I'm flat broke. Now then, I'm okay as long as I can keep making money every week. That's where we live. But what if something happens and I can't make money next week? That ain't gonna look too good. In fact, I was in a situation down at my shop here a while back when a young man had parked his pickup down there on my property, and I didn't mind. And all of a sudden I looked up and there was a wrecker out there. And I knew that it belonged to this boy, and I knew that we'd parked it there. So I went over and asked the wrecker driver, I said, this is my property and you're pulling in here to tow off this vehicle? I said, who are you? And he says, well, we're repossessing this vehicle. I said, first of all, I got to know. I said, this thing was sitting down at the doctor's office just a few minutes ago when we got it started and drove it up here and left it sitting right here. I said, how did you know this vehicle was in on my property down here when a few minutes ago it was up in downtown Justin? He said, there's a GPS sensor on that truck because that truck's financed. And they know where that truck's at all the time. Isn't that something? So when they turned it off with a computer from a satellite so it won't run, when I went up and I asked Mike, I called Mike, I said, Mike, can you tell me how to start this truck? It just blew me away. He knew the PIN numbers and everything. He told me exactly what relay to pull out, what terminal to jumper, and it started. I mean, there's nobody, he knew that. So I didn't have a clue. So we drove it up there and we thought, well, it's got a problem with the ignition switch. I had no idea that somebody was doing this via a satellite. But because it was financed and he hadn't made the payment, they turned it off. Now then, that's not going to be too good if you're driving down the road 60 or 70 miles an hour and you start to go around a corner and they happen to turn you. Of course, I guess they wait till you stop, because surely they got enough sense to know that if you turn that pickup off and the power steering locks up on it, you might run. Who knows what you might do? But you know, we live in a crazy world. But anyway, with what is going on today, I'm going to give you a piece of advice that you can do whatever you want to with it. I know what I'm going to do with it. If you got some money in the bank, don't spend it. If you don't have to buy something you don't have to continue your life, don't buy it. Take some precautions. If you got a car or pickup that's paid for, don't go out and refinance it and get money and go spend the money stupidly for something else. Because if you do that, you may very well be walking. Now, how many of y'all want to walk where you go next week? I don't. How many of you want to have enough money in the bank so it just, and if the groceries go up 30% next week, you can still buy some? That's me too. Now, this very well may happen in the very, very near future, because this man that I listened to, this financial expert that told us all these other things a few years ago that I didn't believe, today I'm believing everything this man says is, he's rock solid. If July the 1st, and it, not if, when July the 1st gets here, this law is going into effect. Why has the elite of the world done this to us? Why have they done everything they can to get America in debt? Do you know, you have probably have no idea the number of people I deal with on a regular basis that come here that need money, where they're already 5, 10, 15, 20, and 30,000, some of them $50,000 in the red on a couple of 4 or 5 credit cards. And they come here and need to borrow $1,000 from me to make it next week. Well, let me tell you what. Don't come and ask me for money. If you're $50,000, $30,000 in debt on a credit card, you need to get your head screwed on right. You need to stop spending money. You know how much money I owe on a credit card as of right now?
Zero.
You know how much money I spend on a credit card every month into this ministry? 30 grand. It cost us $30,000 a month just to pay the bills for tapes, CDs, DVDs, and things like that that we buy for this ministry. We spend $30,000 a month for that, and that's, somebody asked me how I went to Baltimore a while ago. I went commercial. The reason I went commercial is because I can get tickets for, different varies, but around 25,000 miles. But I get a dollar per mile. And if Cheryl and I can take $10, isn't that what it costs us, honey, $10? We take $10 and take our miles and we buy 2 tickets round trip to Baltimore and back. $10 is what that costs by taking all the money that I've spent in this ministry, paying it off and getting those miles. We can go to Baltimore and back for $10 versus I could fly my own airplane and I can sit up there for 6 hours flying my own airplane up there and back and spend $4,000 for fuel and do all the flying around all them storms and everything else. Now, that didn't take very much of a rocket scientist for me to figure out which way I was going to go. If I can fly in a big commercial jet at $40,000, you know, and we can fly around the storms or over the storms, and Cheryl and I can go up there for $10 up there and back. Or I could fly my own airplane and, like I say, and do all the flying and all of everything, flight planning and everything, and spend $4,000 just for gas to go up there and back versus $10. Tony, that wasn't a very hard decision, was it? Yeah, we all should be able to figure those kind of things, right? But I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know something is going to happen. This. And you may be a whole lot smarter in economics than me, and you wouldn't have to be very smart to be smarter than me in economics. But I do know one thing. How does a person get in debt with a credit card? You buy things on it that you don't need, probably for yourself or somebody else that they didn't want it. And then you pay 15 to 25% interest on that money. And they will keep you in debt. And right now, the United States is in debt beyond any nation on this earth. Because we buy things we don't need. we go out and eat and put it on our credit card. We go out somewhere and eat in a restaurant and pay 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 bucks a meal for something when we could have saved that money and stayed at home and eat a bologna sandwich, you know, for 50 cents, you know, instead of trying to save money. But that's where we are today. I mean, I know people, especially men, you know, men that don't like to cook, if they don't have a wife, they will go stop and eat somewhere at a restaurant or whatever and spend 10 or 15 bucks or $20 to eat when they, you know, that whenever I was out there by myself, I would go down to Walmart and buy me them great big boxes of cereal back in those days that were only a buck and a half or $2. And then for a dollar and a quarter back in those days, I could buy me a gallon of milk. And you know how many breakfasts I can offer that $3 or $4? You know how many days I can eat breakfast? 2 weeks. I can have breakfast for 2 weeks for $3 or $4. You can't go in no restaurant and eat a breakfast nowhere for $3 for one day. But you have to learn how to manage money. And when I've had some people say, how can you be so fortunate? I said, number one, I put God first and I tithe. That's the reason he gives me the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to do this. Yeah, I don't have a lot, but you know, just like King David said, I have been young one time and now I've been old and I have never seen the righteous begging bread. But God didn't say, he didn't say, but all the righteous were millionaires. That God can do that too if he wants to. He could make all the righteous people that's obeying him, he could make you an instantaneous millionaire if he wanted to. He could do that. But I don't know what he's going to do, but I think God is trying to warn us as a body right now today. We need to make sure that if we owe a debt on our car, if you have an older car, don't buy a new one. Don't go out and spend a lot of money. Keep the car you got. Keep it running. Keep it in good shape. And pay the sucker off. And you may not have many months to pay it off. Because I don't know how quickly things are going to happen. One of the things I'm hearing regularly is when it comes to finances, that as soon as this law goes into effect, there will be some kind of a currency revaluation all over the world. And what they're trying to do is to bring in the new world order. That's why all this is happening. And there's going to be this currency revaluation. And when it is, some people are going to be flat broke and some people are going to become millionaires because they have played the different, like the Forex markets. I don't even hardly know how to look at the Forex markets. So I would never go in there and buy something on it because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I would never do that. But there are some people that know what they're doing. I mean, I've read articles where people make $10,000 a day on the stock market. Nah, not me. I never had $10,000 to put in there. And, you know, of course, me not knowing what I'm doing, if I went in there and bought $10,000 worth of stuff, tomorrow I'd probably be broke. I wouldn't have nothing. So I'm not taking any chances. If I got my money, I'm going to keep mine. You know, but people today, the Christian world, for sure, we're spending too much money that we don't have on things we don't need, you know, and so therefore we got a credit card debt. And I would not even dare to ask you, but I'm telling you, I don't have any money on a personal credit card. I owe nobody nothing, you know. And like I said, I got $6,000 in the bank, cash money in the bank. That's all I got. You know, I don't have a lot. At one time I had $500,000 in the bank, but I used it to build Tim's gym after I retired, or actually I got fired. I didn't retire. After I got fired for talking about Jesus in the workplace, I took that $500,000 that I had and built my son a gym and bought a piece of land and everything. And that piece of land has blessed a lot of people. But I have used that money for the glory of God. And so in the future, whatever you do, and we only got a couple of months to see what's going to happen. Well, here's what's going to happen. You know, if most of us, if you're like me and you don't know nothing about economics, and I'm not one of those people that knows much about it at all, but if they announce on the news after July the 1st and they say, well, the currency in America is going to be devalued by 30%, See, has this happened in the world before? Oh, yeah. It has always happened. But does it ever work? No, it's never the answer to the problem. But if they say, and they come on the news, if you were to turn on the TV one morning in a couple, 2 or 3 months, and they say, well, the federal government has decided, the IMF and all these people, this International Monetary Fund and everybody else, they have decided they're going to devalue the American dollar by 30%. Most people say, what does that mean? I don't have a clue. Okay, so you go to the grocery store and the groceries are the same price today as it was yesterday. No big deal. But let's say that Walmart orders a few million dollars worth of clothes from China, and there's been a transfer of this amount of money, and now then we're $30 under what we was. Now then they're going to pay 30% more for that stuff. And so when it comes into Walmart, now then you go down there to buy a little sweater or something, and last month that was $10. Today it's $13. You think, wow, well, that's not too bad. Okay, so it went from 10 to 13, but then you go to the grocery store and what was 10 is now 13. Now you go to the gas pump and the gas was 3.5, now it's $5. Sometime in the very near future, you're fixing to run out of money. Is that right, Mary? You can't keep going. If they add 30% to everything you buy, unless you get a 30 or 40% increase in pay, which you ain't gonna get, you're gonna have trouble paying your bills. And what kind of chaos, when you take a bunch of spoiled brats, and that's what I call us in America, we're a bunch of spoiled brats as a rule. We think we got to have everything that everybody else has got. We don't want to be deprived of nothing. If I want something, I want it right now. Is that the way we live? That's the way the American people live. They will be breaking into your places of business. They will be breaking into your cars. They will rob you on the street. I mean, it could get ugly. And all this could happen in the very near future. I hope I am wrong, but I don't think I am. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay attention to the money I have, and I ain't going to spend it. I guarantee I'm not going to spend it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to spend just as little as I have to buy groceries and to get by. I am not going to go out and buy nothing. If you have a house and you don't have it paid for now and you finance it for 30 years, first of all, anybody, I don't want to offend you, but anybody that will buy a house and finance it for 30 years, they don't have no economic sense at all. They just don't. I mean, when you finance a house for 10 years or 15 years, in 15 years, if you finance a house for 15 years, you can literally buy you another complete set of houses for the difference in what the interest would cost you if you were to take it out for 30 years. I mean, I learned that right up front. I just can't believe people go in and buy a house. And they don't say, well, what's the total cost going to be? They say, what's the monthly cost going to be? That's the only thing they look at. Okay, so it cost me $350 a month for 20 years. How much is it going to cost for 30 years? Okay, it's only going to be $300. Okay, I can handle $300 a whole lot better than I can $350. They never compute, never put it together. That 10 years worth of interest at this amount is costing you a fortune. And so they don't get it. And so people just pay it out. And some of them never get it paid for. And then some people, the height of stupidity is people that get a reverse mortgage. Anybody get your house nearly paid for and then get a reverse mortgage and give it to somebody else, you don't have an economic brain at all. You just don't want to go there. You don't want to give everything you work for all your life to somebody else. And so I'm telling you that this, you know, I guess after listening to these people that I listened to this week, I can't just come in here and tell you everything's okay, because I don't think everything's okay. I think that we could be in the most devastating time of history that we have ever been in. You know, I mean, it's not Obama's fault. He's just a pawn. You know, the elitists, you know, the ones that are running the world, they're the ones. I mean, if you listen to some of the radio talk shows I've listened to 7 or 8 years ago, you will hear people talking about the new healthcare system. Even before Obama was even thought about, they said we're going to have a new healthcare system. So you take something that's got thousands of pages and you come in and you think this man trying to be president of the United States got enough time to sit down and write a bill like this? You got to be kidding me. You know, this thing was written by who knows number of people. But now it's clear, just like Pelosi said, well, we don't know what's in it, so let's just pass it, and then we'll read it and find out what's in it. Now, she said that. Did she not? You know, I mean, and these kind of people are running our country. And so we wonder why we got the problems we got. Well, let me tell you, God is in control of everything, and what he is doing what he's doing because this nation is disobedient to him. They're disobedient. Do you agree with that? No, so those of us that are willing to put God first and obey him and do what he says, he's going to bless us even through all of this. We're going to see it. I mean, we're going to see the devastation just like Cheryl and I last week were in the middle of a storm. I mean, the roads were falling apart. There was cars on TV. We saw cars down the streets in Washington, D.C. that were literally being rolled down the street because of, you see some of those?
Yeah.
Because of high water. But yet, here we are up here preaching, we're okay. You know, we're out there, we're at the church, we're at the hotel, and we're no problem. But we could go anywhere we wanted to go. We go out to eat or anything. I never had any problem whatsoever. Yet we're right in the middle of the destruction. But it ain't coming near us. We never missed a meal. Nothing. You know, God took care of us through all of that. Isn't that wonderful? That God will take care, but other people were being, you know, drowned and everything else, you know, so but we were serving the Lord. So just like he said, I will protect you, and he's going to do that. But like I say, if you've got some money, make sure you hang on to it for a while. You know, if you were going to buy yourself a new car, give it some time. You know, I mean, save the money, wait for a few months. If you were going to buy a new house, if you hadn't already bought it, you know, wait a while. You know, I mean, or let's put it this way. If you've got the cash to buy a new house, and almost nobody does that, almost nobody has the kind of money. If you want to buy a house that costs $100,000 and you got $100,000 and you want to buy it, go ahead. As long as you can pay for it. But don't have $100,000 and go out and buy a $300,000 house and put $100,000 down and finance $200,000, because if you do, I guarantee this next year you're going to be out on the street. You ain't going to be able to make the bills after you lose your job. And I believe that's coming. I believe with this new law that's going in, we're going to see people lose their jobs by the multitudes. Do you know how many people in America is already out of work? You know what the... Okay, yeah, 96 million. About 24% of the people are unemployed. You know, but when you look at government records, what does the government show out of work? About 7. So there's a lot of difference between 7 and 24. So you know how they count it now? You know, when they put you on there as unemployment, they count you as unemployed. When you run to the end of your unemployment stuff and you no longer are able to draw it, you drop off the radar. And when you drop off the radar, you're not unemployed no more. They don't count you no more. Are you still unemployed? Yes, you're still unemployed. And this is the way the government is doing things to make us think that it's not as bad as it really is. But like I say, if you're a Christian and you're walking obedience to God's word, he's going to protect you and he's going to watch over you. But be cautious how you spend money. And for sure, if you got a credit card debt already, don't increase it no further. You know how you don't get credit card debt? Don't spend it. Don't buy nothing. Is that right? Do you know, I found out a long time ago, you know, if I'm going in somewhere to eat and I'm hungry and I'm going to go into, if I'm going to stop at anywhere, a fast food place or whatever, I think, you know, gee, I'm kind of hungry, so I run in there and get me a double meat hamburger and French fries and all that kind of stuff and a large drink and all that stuff and $10 or $12. You know, I just spent $10 or $12, maybe $15. But I think, you know, I could just spend a buck for a bar of candy and drink a glass of water and wait till I get home tonight, then I can eat tonight. And that's what I used to do. You know, in fact, I've told Cheryl this several times. We're financially able to do this now. I don't have a problem. But when we go to the airport, she always likes to go get something to eat. I told her, I said, honey, before I married you, you know how much money I traveled the world over. I said, you know how much money I spend in airports for food? I didn't spend a penny, Mike, not a penny, because I know how high they are. I know they gouge you, they overcharge you, but I always, that's why I got money today, because I didn't spend it. I kept it. You see where I'm coming from? I kept it. I didn't ever go out and buy things. Now, I learned my lesson, and by taking that money and putting that money away and saving that money, today, you sit here on this property, which I bought 35 or 40 years ago and paid for it, and everything I bought and paid for, I don't have to pay any more interest on. In other words, 7 or 8 years for one of them, 9 years for another one. But and the people I borrowed the money from to buy this land at those rates, they said with the money I made, it was impossible for me to make those payments in that shorter period of time. But see, they underestimate what God can do. So I paid them all off. Didn't know. So anyway, like I say, I hope everything I said today is not going to come to pass. But if that guy that made the predictions is right, he was right. I didn't heed him at all when he said General Motors and Fannie and Freddie and all of them are going to go bankrupt and there's going to be a crash in the housing market and there's going to be thousands and millions of people without a job and people are going to lose their home. I said, this guy's crazy. This is America. But did it happen? It did happen. It did happen. Now he's saying it's going to be worse than it was. And so I just can't sit here and tell you nothing. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be out of debt, you know, out of debt. Now, if that was I really learned that lesson a long time ago because I have not had any kind of debt for anything in a long time. And today, here's the way I look at it. If I go to buy something, if I ain't got the money to pay cash for it, I don't even look at it. And of course, if I went up today, since I've already told you I got about $6,000 in the bank of my own private money, if I was going to go buy something and I thought I really needed it, it's going to cost a full $6,000, you think I'd buy it? Absolutely not. Not unless it was life and death. If it was different between life and death, yes, then I would spend it all. But if it cost $6,000, if it cost $5,000 and I got $6,000, only leave me a $1,000 cushion, you can better believe this guy don't never work on that low of money. Some people, you know, you got $100 in the bank, hey, spend $99.50. Not me. I'm going to keep mine. I mean, I've never been a wealthy man as such, but yet I've been wealthy because I have used my money. I've always, since I've been tithing all these years, I've always had all the money I needed to buy anything I needed at the time if it was something I really needed. Just like my little truck. You know, I paid $5,700 for that little truck, paid cash for it, and I'm still driving it. You know, so I'm just saying that I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I think the world, I think God is setting us up for the new world order to come in because he said that's going to happen. You know, it's in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, it's going to happen, but I think God gives us a brain, his children, to read his stuff, to listen to the right people at the right time so we don't get in these binds. So we don't have to have our car repossessed. We don't have to have our house repossessed. You know, if you're a husband and a wife and you got three or four children today and you're living in a house that you spent $200,000 or $300,000 for and the payments would be $2,000 a month on something like that, I guess. If you lose your job, if you're like everybody else, nearly everybody else is living from day to day with no cushion. If you don't have your job next week, how long are you going to go with a $2,000 house payment? Not very long. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to really have compassion on you. They're going to come and kick you out of your house with your four children, and you're going to be out on the street sleeping under a bridge. And Cheryl and I, every once in a while, we'll be back there in our little apartment, you know, just a little one bedroom, but it's all paid for. She says, honey, this is so much better than sleeping under that bridge, especially when it's cold outside. The wind's blowing. She hates cold. So she said, honey, this is so much better than sleeping under a bridge. And I have to say, it is. It may only be one bedroom and one bathroom, but that's all we need. That's all we need. So I don't have a giant note on that. That little house, like I've told y'all before, back behind us here, I built that little thing, and it cost us a grand total of $35,000 to build the house we live in. So, hey, but it's paid for. I never did have a note on it, so it's something. So, be cautious, look forward, pay attention, and see what's coming, because I think that it could, you notice I haven't started building the road yet, because I don't have that money yet. You know, I mean, some people say, oh, I'm going to sell that, so I'm going to go ahead and finance this and do this. And so if I spend $100,000, $150,000 building a road from here up yonder, maybe more than that, and then if all of a sudden this deal falls through, what kind of shape am I in? I ain't going to do that. I just don't do that. Somebody said, well, you have no faith. That may be true on something like that. I don't. But I'm going to have the money when I get it done. I guarantee the day you see them start pouring on that road down there, you can know old Thurman's got the money in his bank account to pay cash for that road when they get through with it, or we ain't going to start. That's the way I do business. I'm never going to get caught short in building something because I run out of money. There's a scripture in the Word where the Lord says a man that does this is foolish. A man that doesn't figure the cost of building his house first, he's foolish. And so too many people do that. I haven't told you a fraction of what I know. I haven't told you a fraction of what I know. But I mean, yes, I haven't even talked about those people that they brought in, but I know they're here. Yes, I do. Of course I do. I haven't even talked about all the new mini tanks that are mobile that they've bought, hundreds of these things now, and they're putting them in every city. They're saying they're using them as SWAT team vehicles, but that's not what they're going to be for. Is going to be there to protect the guys that are in it when the uprisings take place, when martial law is declared. I mean, no. I mean, it could be much, much uglier than what I'm talking about. But I'm aware of all that. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to give you just a little, and then you know you need to do some research on your own. You know, if there's anything we need to do today as Christians, we need to do some research to find out what is going on around us so we know how to pray. That's just like that 29th. I don't know how many people was praying against that, but I was. I did not want that peace talk to be settled, and they say, okay, we're going to divide Israel because, I mean, if that happened, I know what God said in His Word, and if God said in His Word, guess what? If God says, if you divide my land, I'm going to divide you. And so, guess what? It's going to happen. And so I do not want to be anywhere around when this happens, but the next few years may be the most interesting times of our life. You know, we may really be in for something that's beyond our wildest dreams, but I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to do what He says, and I'm going to believe He's going to protect us through all this, just like He did Cheryl and I up there in Baltimore last week. We were right in the middle of all the storms and everything. We were sleeping nice in a hotel at night. You know, they come picked us up in a nice car and took us to church. And the church was up on a hill, so it wasn't underwater. You know, so but there was a lot of things that were underwater in different places, but it wasn't us. And so I'm telling you, God knows how to protect His children in the middle of the storm. So you want to put Him first and do what He says. But anyway, I don't know what's going to happen here in the very near future, but I think it's going to happen. Because as I listen to these people that really know economics, they're talking about all this. And, just be cautious. Keep your money, save some, don't spend it all. If you got a credit card debt, well, don't put anything else on your credit card. Try to live without it. Live within your means. Don't do things that you can't do, because unless you want to get everything you have repossessed. Because if you got a credit card debt, or you got your vehicle's not paid off, if you owe $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. You know, some people have debts on their new trucks for $50,000. Do you know, we went down to the fair the other day and looked at a brand new pickup that cost $72,000, one pickup. Not me. Not me. You ain't never going to see me with one of those things in my driveway. Not mine. I ain't going to spend that kind of money for something to carry me around. And somebody said, well, what if you had $1 million? Well, here's my advice to you. If God drops $1 million in your lap through business or whatever, if he gives you $1 million, in 2 years from now, how much money should you still have? More than $1 million. If God gave you $1 million, you should invest that money, and it should, well, the examples we got in the Word, one guy was given 5 talents and he had 10 when the master came back, right? Another was given 2 and he had 4. Another was given 1, he took it out in the backyard and hid it and didn't do nothing with it. And what happened to him? He got thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the one he had was taken away from him, given to the one had 10. So if you put it in an interest-bearing account, if you got enough, if you got $1 million or 2 or whatever, or 10 million or something like that, you can get with a wealth manager and they'll hook you up with the right people so you can make some pretty significant money just through interest. And that's really, if somebody were to drop $1 million in my lap today or tomorrow or next week or whatever, and that could happen, you know, who would have ever dreamed, you know, when you're in the ministry, you don't ever know what God's going to do. I mean, it would not surprise me at all, just absolutely not surprise me at all, if God were to just, I walk out and FedEx is out there tomorrow morning, and there was a package. Well, this happened to me once, not this much, but I walk out there and get an envelope and open it, and there's a certified cash in or check to the Living Savior Ministries for $3.5 million. You know what I'd say? Praise God. That's exactly what I would say. Now let me go down to the bank, you know, where they'll take this kind of money, and let me get with a wealth manager, and we'll have them check this, make sure this thing's $3.5 million, it's good. And once they say we checked it, it's certified, it's good. Now what do you want to do? I said, give me a good wealth manager that can show me how I can invest this money, you know, so that I can get something back on it. Okay, if I got $3+ million and they put me in an account where I can put 5%, now then, approximately how much money should I make in a year on just 5%? $160,000, $170,000, right? Yeah, okay, so I get $175,000 out of $3 million. What can you do with $175,000 in a year? I wouldn't ask that. I start saying, is anybody in here making $175,000 a year? Because I know I ain't, but I live real good. But I'll tell you what. Let's just put it like this. I don't know if I could live on $175,000 a year or not, but I sure would like to try. Y'all know where I'm coming from, right? I've never had the privilege to live on $175,000. I ain't never made that kind of money in my life. Some of y'all may have, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you've made that kind of money, my hat's off to you, praise God, but I never have. I never have. But could I live on $175,000?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I've never tried, Kim, so I don't know. I don't know if I can spend all that or not, see? So one of the things this economic guy that said the other day, that last week when I listened to him, he said that if you have $1 million in the bank and they do all this that they're talking about, they might possibly, within the rules of this new law that Obama signed that's going to go into effect on July, they could close the banks for a couple of days and they could clean all that money out, and whenever they opened it up, you could have nothing. Yeah, he said this new law that Obama signed that goes into effect July the 1st, if they want to, because they want money. And they have signed this thing into a law that, let's just say that you had, say you had a rich husband or something, and say, well, I'll just use Judy. Say she had a rich husband and he died and he left her $1 million. Okay, so if she takes care of that $1 million at all, and then she invests it, she ought to be able to make enough money each year to live and still have the $1 million, right? With any kind of knowledge of finances at all, you can continue to live good and always have your $1 million. Maybe make a little on it. But can you imagine what would happen if the government comes in? And they did this before. They come in, and so you got money in the bank, even gold or silver, in a lockbox. Back in the days of, I think it was Roosevelt or whatever, when they did this, if you had a lockbox in a bank and you had gold and stuff in it, they came in and got the key and stole your gold out of the federal government did that. And you lost your money. Now, I'm sure there wasn't nobody happy about that. But if they do that and they took Judy's $1 million away from her and to the government, and then when they opened the bank and she checked her account and her account's zero, now she's in trouble. She's going to be right back where the rest of us are. You know, so I would say that if you have money, you ask God what you should do with it, where you should put it, and everything, because, and of course, most people, it's not safe to keep your money at home. You know, you wouldn't want to keep your money at home. You'd want something, a big safe or and somebody you knew that had something, you know, because if you got money at home, say you only had $10,000 in a bank at home. You know, I mean, if you had $10,000 and you had it at a bank and you told anybody you had a $10,000, then everybody in the world is going to know you got $10,000 because everybody's going to tell their friends, well, Pastor Thurman said he got $10,000 in his closet or whatever, which I would never do. But if you did that, then if they needed money and there was martial law, they're coming to your house and they're going to knock your door down and they're going to get your $10,000 and then maybe even kill you to get it, right? So you just don't. Again, you can't tell anybody anything about your finances, you know. That's why I'm just warning you, you know, if you got some money, figure out what you want to do with it. But if you're in debt, what's going to be so terrible? I don't know what percentage of the people in America that own a home, but it's not a lot. You know, they all got a house, but they don't own it. The bank owns it. You know, a finance company owns it. You're just like a car. In fact, let me just ask this question, if you don't mind telling me. How many of you in here have a car that has a note on it? Is there anybody in here that has a car? Okay, you're making payments on your car. Okay, so there's a few of you. You're in a whole lot better shape than I thought. You know, but as a rule, you go out there and ask the world how many of them, in fact, used to when I worked in the workforce, almost everybody in the building, the management and everything else, if I asked them, you know, your car, they'd say, well, you know, I got $300 or $400 or $500, sometimes $600 or $700 a month payments on a car. That's not uncommon. With a car that costs $40,000, $50,000, it's not uncommon to have a payment, you know, of $500 or $600 or $700 a month. Okay, as long as you got a good job, if you're making $1,000 a week, you know, and you got a $500 a month payment on your car, it's not too bad until... But you're working from day to day, and you know you're spending for your house and your car and your insurance and all the stuff you're spending and your groceries and all the other things. Yeah, you made $4,000 a month, but at the end of the month you spent $4,050. So you had to put that last $50 on your charge card. And do you know that's what people are doing? Instead of saying, okay, well I got $4,000, I'm going to learn how to live on $1,500. Wow, that means I got to get me another car. Sure, trade that sucker in, get you a cheaper one. You know, that little $15,000 Chevrolet that you can buy will get you to back and forth to work just as good as that $70,000 diesel will. Do you know that? Yeah, sure, there's lots of ways to buy something and have transportation and not spend a fortune. There's ways to do it. But I'm just saying, with everything I've heard, and like I said, I'm only telling y'all a very small amount of what I really know, because I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to be concerned. I don't want you to not sleep tonight. You know, I want you to sleep tonight because, and like I say, there is lots of stuff out there. That's what's going on. And I believe that all this, in fact, I heard last week that man was telling us, I wish I could remember these numbers, but he said that the United States of America is borrowing, I forget, it was how many billion dollars an hour? Does anybody know? You've heard those numbers, right? It was billions of dollars an hour that we're borrowing. And you think, how long can this go on? Well, they want it to go on until the bubble busts. That's what they want. This is a planned thing to ruin the people in America. And it's a planned thing. And so we're going to have to be wise as we can be. Well, that it may come to that. That's the way it came in the book of Acts, wasn't it? They did. They sold their houses and everything. They all joined together as a group, as a community. And that may happen again in America. I don't know. But if it happens, it happens, you know. So I don't know. All I know is I'm praying and asking God to give me wisdom and knowledge of what to do and how to do it every day of my life so that I can stay out of debt, so I can stay ahead of this thing, so that just like Psalm 91 says, if I put the Lord first, no sickness shall come to my house. That's what he says. And then he says, I'll see 1,000 fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my side, but it will not come near me. I have never seen that kind of devastation. And Tony, I don't want to see that kind of devastation, do you? I don't want to be nowhere where I see 10,000 people die at my right hand. I just don't want to be there. I'd much rather see things go like they're supposed to go, like we would like for them to go. But that may not be God's plan in these last days. And so it may come to the point where all Christians may, or groups of like 150, 200 or 300 of us, may have to get together, you know, and do this. We don't know. But in the next few months, we're probably going to know, because there's too many people out there warning us that these things are going to happen, and we need to be ready. Anyway, you know, we've got such a short period of time to see what is going to happen in America, and within the next 2 or 3 months, we should see some real things happen. And you know, I've been listening to this gentleman that's talking about this new law that Obama put in that's going to happen July the 1st. I've been listening to him now for about 6 or 8 months, maybe a year ago when I first heard this the first time. Of course, I listened to it in its entirety, and then I thought, this can't happen. This can't happen. But the guy, Stansberry. Yeah, Porter Stansberry. You know him? Yeah, you look up Porter Stansberry, he's got a big following. He makes lots of people millions of dollars, and he'll tell you what to do and what he thinks. And of course, you know, if one of the things he says, which most people can't do, he says, make sure you got at least 25% of your total amount of money in silver and gold. Well, if a man's only got $1,000, if all you got in the bank is $1,000, and most people got $100 in the bank, you know, some people don't even have enough to, you know, buy groceries this week in the bank. So it ain't going to do you no good. If you got $1,000 and you go out to buy 1 ounce gold coin, you know how much one gold coin that weighs 1 ounce cost today? $1,300. $1,300 for one. So, I mean, hey, if you ain't got a lot of money, forget the gold and silver stuff. Why is the Chinese dumping the American dollar like crazy? See, this has never happened in history. There's too many things going on right now. Yeah, so many people are dumping the American dollar, getting rid of it. Why are they doing that? But I mean, if I had $100,000 in my pocket, American Federal Reserve dollars, which is what you're going to have, if I had $100,000 and I knew that within 2 months that $100,000 was going to be worth zero, what would I do with that $100,000 between now and 2 months? I'd dump it, right, Tony? I'd be getting rid of that stuff. I'd be buying something, right? I would be buying something that I needed. I would be buying hard assets. I'd either be buying food, you know, storing it, or I would be buying something. But I'm not going to leave it in the bank if I know that in 2 months, that $100,000, they're going to take it and it's going to be worth zero. And that may very well what happened. And aren't we glad we're Christians? Well, aren't we glad we know Jesus and he's taking care of us? Because who knows what's going to happen? In fact, we went to Russia and built a building years ago, and they had, I forget now how many people there was working there at that flight kitchen, like 250, I think, 250 people working in a flight kitchen to get out the flights on a Russian flight, that in America we could do it with 30 people. What difference? I mean, you know, you never know who's going to be there. You have 250 signed up, but they only come to work if they want to. You know, yeah, that's the way Russia's made, you know. Over here, you know, people have an incentive to go to work, because if you go to work, you get paid. You know, if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. And over there, whether they go to work or not, they get paid. But it's nothing, you know, like $1 a day or whatever, like she said. But anyway, I don't know. I do not know what's going to happen in the future here. I just know what I've learned recently about these things. And so I want you to be cautious. I want you to make sure you're saving your money, that you're not spending it foolishly. And, you know, if you've got some place, something you can put it in, if you do have any values amount of money, put it in silver or gold or something. Because if this stuff happens, like I think it's going to happen, it could be that the money that you have in the bank could be confiscated. It's very possible that you could lose it. Yeah, but if when you buy that stuff, you got to have some place to keep it where bugs don't get in it. You know, because it don't last long. You know, I don't know how Joseph kept that grain for 7 years. I don't know how he did that, but God was behind that. I'll say that because today you can't buy any kind of grain products or anything. I don't care what it is. In fact, I used to like to make myself pancakes, so I'd buy one of those at Walmart, Sam's, I guess it was. I'd buy that great big old sack about that tall and about that thick of pancake mix. You know, they were very inexpensive, you know, so, and I'd love it. And so here a while back, I hadn't, you know, they got a seal where you can reseal them, but, you know, I don't eat a lot of pancakes, so I might eat pancakes, and then maybe 4 or 5 months before I want a pancake again. Well, anyway, I went in there the other day, and sure enough, it had been 3 or 4 or 5 months since. So I opened my sack and looked down, and there's a little black bugs all through this. So I had to, did I need to filter that out or just throw it away? They taste okay? Well, now let me tell y'all, for sure, I guarantee if I had been hungry enough, I would guarantee I would have probably eaten bugs and all. You know, y'all know where I'm coming from, right? But I wasn't that hungry, you know, and so I thought, well, I can live without it or whatever. But that's usually the way we are. God provides for us so good, doesn't he? The Lord provides for us so wonderfully. And so, Roy, have you got something to do? What, Peggy? Oh, yeah, bay leaves, yeah. Yeah, bay leaves. That's right. Cheryl told me about that, too. You can even eat the bay leaves? Now, see, look at all the knowledge and wisdom we got in this room here with all these people. See, I mean, see, that's why God puts a bunch of us together, because so what one knows, another one doesn't know, and but all together, you know, we can do great things. The thing about it is, you know, if it come down to where we were really hungry, I don't mind telling you that I can guarantee you if I had really been hungry and thought that I didn't have another sack of something, I would have definitely filtered out those little black bugs out of that, and I would have eaten that pancake mix, I guarantee. But, you know, when you're not hungry, and, you know, you can, but y'all don't understand where I'm coming from. I don't want to eat it if I don't have to, but I don't get me beyond. I'm not beyond eating. I mean, you know, when we think about John the Baptist, what did he eat? Grasshoppers? Grasshoppers and honey, yeah, that's right. So, I mean, let's face it, you know, if it really came down to it, you know, when you think about some of these people, like some of those in World War II, you know, that talks about, you know, how that if they caught a mouse, there's four ladies, what was her name? Corrie ten Boom, yeah, Corrie ten Boom. Said if they could catch a mouse, they would quarter him, I mean, eat him raw, skin and everything. And it was a delicacy. Because, you know, if you ain't had nothing to eat, you're hungry and you're starving to death. I mean, you know, we are, like I said a while ago, we are a bunch of spoiled, rotten rats. I'm one of them, you know. I don't you love being spoiled rotten? I do. I love being spoiled rotten. But, you know, if it were to come to it, we might have to do a whole lot of things. But I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But anyway, when I was going to talk about this, I didn't plan for it to take up the whole hour and a half. But that it has. But I want you to think, and I want you to concentrate. I want you to think about what you should do with the money you have, you know, to get out of debt. In fact, I think that's good advice anytime under any conditions is to stay out of debt. You know, don't have a debt. You be the banker. Save your money and invest it or whatever, but don't let them, the banker, charge you that high interest. You be the banker. You save the money. If you need a car, save your money. This is the way I've done it for the last 25 years. I saved the money till I got enough money to buy my car. And then if I want to spend $6,000 for a car, I wait till I got $6,000 plus $2,000 or $3,000 more for a cushion. And then I take the $6,000 and I start looking. But I always pray, Lord, where is the car I need? And every time he'll provide you the exact one and that you can use and drive it for years. And you really don't have to have a brand new one. You know, so, but if you got money for a brand new one and you can pay for it, that's good. I have no problem with that. You know, if you've saved and you've been invested and you've been financially blessed and you got a lot of money, if you want to go out and pay $70,000 for a new Lexus, if you can pay cash for it and still that don't put you in a bind, that's okay. Go for it. I just can't do that. Never have been able to do that. But who knows? I might be someday. You know, who knows? God might hear me on this and somebody hear this tape and think, Thurman's never had $1 million, so I'm just going to send him $1 million and just see what he says. Mary, could I love that? Yes, I could. Could you love that girl? Yes, don't lie to me. I'm just kidding you, giving you a hard time. But you know, you don't ever know what God's going to do. But I'm going to be grateful to him if he just takes care of us, aren't you? I want him to take care of us. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you that you are the healer. You're the mighty God. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, we praise you and worship you and thank you for all these wonderful healing scriptures and all these wonderful promises, which are always yes and amen for your obedient children. And Lord, we are your obedient children. We're all washed in the blood. We're sons and daughters of God. You told us we could ask anything and you'll do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.